So back to the gene key that I just read the other day, my life's work gene key. Richard Rudd, so poetic, channeled material supposedly, definitely feels like it to me. He said, you start to realize everything that you say, you need to check yourself to make sure it carries the perfume of love somewhere behind it. If that's not the case, you're in arrogance and out of alignment. You've missed the boat. You're not optimizing the path for yourself and everyone around you.
Welcome to the Alchemist Lounge. What if you could hang out with high-performing executives, entrepreneurs, and leaders? Ask them about how psychedelics have impacted their self-improvement journeys. Then take an insight or two to guide your own growth. Each week, Alex Atwood takes an in-depth look at how psychedelics can increase fulfillment, solve personal problems affecting your career, and help you gain the success you seek. Alex is an executive and psychedelics coach to high performers, and his goal is to provide strategies to help you reduce conflict, bring awareness, and balance your life through the use of psychedelics. Now, here's Alex.
Everybody, welcome to another episode of the Alchemist Lounge. In case you're curious, there's not actual a studio audience here. But I love the energy behind the clapping. So today on the Alchemist Lounge, we have a super exciting guest. The guest today, his name is Brandon Beacham. And so I met Brandon at Burning Man this year and found him fascinating. He's a very interesting human that is helping people unlock abundance that exists within everyone. Brandon, he's a podcaster, entrepreneur, writer, philosopher, truth seeker. He's the host of the Positive Head podcast, has over 20 million downloads. He's been number two in the spirituality category in Apple Podcasts. Look at him. I'm showering him with praise right now as he's joining the show. Brandon also has a late night consciousness elevating talk show, which is really cool, called Optimistic. And he wrote his first book called The Golden Key, Modern Alchemy to Unlock Infinite Abundance. And how fitting that he's on the Alchemist Lounge today. Today he's going to share how he up-leveled his life and call in some abundance. Welcome to the show, Brandon. It's so good to see you. I haven't seen you since Burning Man, and you look almost the same, but not as dusty.
Yeah, I'm a little slightly cleaner. You forgot to mention that I make a mean taco as well.
But ooh, well, we got to put that at the top because taco skills are very important. True. Feeding your head as well as your stomach is all connected, my friend. So thanks for joining the show. So,
great to see you.
Absolutely. So we connected at Burning Man, and we connected over the topic of the foundations of Burning Man and how like the Grateful Dead culture is a part of that and all that. And so I started listening to some of your shows, and what I really like and what I'm inspired by is the opening prompts that you give to your guests. And so I've decided to try that my own, and I'm going to use some Grateful Dead lyrics to do it. So here we go. So here's some lyrics. Wake up to find out that you are the eyes of the world. What does that quote mean to you?
Oh, that's, talk about a loaded question. What does that mean to me? What that means to me is, you know, I really think it's just brilliantly said and speaks to the foundational reason that we exist. You know, I believe that source, God, higher self, the universe, consciousness, whatever you want to call it slash us, it's playing a game of cat and mouse with itself throughout eternity. It is, you know, we're choosing to forget so that we can have the experience of remembering again. And so think about eternity or no time. It's like, our brains can't even really fully grasp it, right? It's like, oh, I imagine having a trillion years. You know, what is the universe? They say 13 billion years. It's been around 13 billion years of experience. If you were alive that whole time as a being, how overwhelming and intense that would be. And then like, and you have infinity in front of you. You literally haven't even scratched the surface of timelessness. And so that's the game that I believe Source is playing with itself. How does it cope with that, the reality of that truth? You know, well, let's choose to forget so that we can remember and, you know, have it mean something again. And I think anyone tuning into this broadcast is going to be a vibrational match for the show and the guest on the show and Alex. And so I would say that's a good indicator that you're in a cycle and part of a cycle where you're ready to remember again, re-member, come back together with all the other extensions of self and the truth of the situation in which you find yourself. You are the eyes of the world. You are the vantage point from which the entire universe is experiencing itself. And so that's my long-winded answer.
I love it. Well, as human beings, we do have that special quality to be able to observe. Right. And so that's interesting. It's very godlike where we are, but we won't get too ethereal just yet. I'm curious about your journey as an entrepreneur. Right. Sure. And you mentioned that it began in childhood. Mm. Right. Tell me about that.
Yeah. So, I started as at a very young age as a pimp. No, just kidding.
and you made
kidding,
the
kidding. Oh, so where did it begin? Probably around 10 years old or so. 11 years old, maybe. I started selling candy at school. I would go to ride my bike to 7-Eleven, you know, and buy the 5-cent Jolly Ranchers and, you know, gumballs and whatever. And then I'd sell them for, you know, a dime or a quarter. I don't even remember at school. And so I would start doing this every day. I would go, I'd spend my, you know, $6 on inventory and I'd turn it into $20. And I was like, whoa, I'm rich, you know? And so, and then eventually they made a rule where you couldn't sell candy at school anymore. And other kids started doing it. So I've always, then it was like, okay, Dad, go to this place where you can get wholesale candy bars for 30 cents. And then I'd go around the neighborhood and I'd be knocking on doors and they'd be like, oh, is this for your little league team? You know? And I'm like, no, it's for me. And half the time they would like be mad. And the other half of the time they'd be like, all right, this kid's like enterprising. So, you know, I think it was just always sort of in me to be serious. You know, I've been a serial entrepreneur my whole life, you know. Worked for others a few times, but mostly sort of, you know, doing something entrepreneurial.
Yeah. What do you remember? What was important to you back then?
What was important to me back then? You're talking selling candy days?
I'm talking in your childhood, right? So I can look personally, I can relate to you. And when you get a chance, go, you can read my bio. I have almost the exact same story. And I think we're almost the exact same age. So when you just told me that story, it completely blew me away because wow. I did almost the exact same thing. It was with Big League Chew when I was a kid. Everyone was into the Big League Chew.
Yeah.
And I would be in the lunch line and they didn't sell that at my school. So I'd be at the end of the lunch line with like a stash of Big League Chew. Selling them. And that is like unbelievable that you have the exact same experience.
Hilarious. That's so hilarious. Do I recall that you're from East Coast, Virginia?
Yeah.
In Virginia?
I'm from right outside the DC area, right?
Yeah,
right.
I'm remembering that now as we talk. Yeah. So I grew up in Chesapeake, Virginia Beach area, Norfolk. So
there's just so much alchemy here. So, I mean, let's dig into this childhood though, because I want, like when I was young, I remember I didn't quite sure know why I was doing that, like, you know, buying bubble gum and selling. Obviously, I liked having extra money. But there was something that like I enjoyed about being able to like provide something, like add something to the lunch line at the time. You know, I can't quite put my finger on it, but I'm wondering like in your youth, in your childhood, when you were doing that, right? What was your youth like? Like what was your family dynamic back then?
So my parents are still married 51 years or something now. They hung in there. And so I had I think of my own son who's grown now as well. You know, compared to him, my upbringing was pretty, you know, cookie cutter normal as you would, if there is such a thing, right? You know, I'd spend a lot of weekends at my grandmother's house. And so that's where I was introduced to, you know, going to church every Sunday kind of thing. And then around, 11, 12 years old, my father got religious And then it turned into Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, you know, like a lot of church. And other than that, you know, normal school, normal, I did well in school, and I'm really blessed not to have a lot of childhood trauma and challenges. You know, my troubles were insignificant compared to, you know, like my partner now, she works with children who, she's a speech therapist and works with children who, you know, it's like emotional disturbances. And it's like the way she puts it is, if this was like 100 years ago, 150 years ago, all these kids would be in mental asylum, you know. You know, it's like a lot of them with like emotional disturbances, or their parents are gangbangers, or, you know, so compared to some of what she, you know, or they have autism and challenges otherwise, you know, disabilities. And so compared to any of that, it's like, I think, you know, for this lifetime, I've been really blessed to be able to help a lot of people to shift their perspectives and sort of teach best what I most need to learn, as I like to put it when I reference my own podcast. It's, you know, I think having that really easy upbringing comparatively was helpful, because I haven't had a ton of trauma to process.
And what I'm curious about is your entrepreneurial spirit that you started back in, you know, back in elementary school. How did that manifest itself? What did you do to manifest that when you started to, you know, get into adulthood, and where did that show up?
I don't know if I did anything per se to instigate that part of myself. I feel like it was something that was just sort of inherent in who I am and what I am at my core. You know, I know that I got a lot of excitement and joy and what have you from, you know, coming up with ideas. I've always been like a big idea person. Like, you know, I can't sort of keep up with all the different ideas that, you know, flow through my brain. So it would, that was really what would inspire me, is like, oh, I haven't, what if I did this? What if, you know, and a lot of people who know me and have known me well are like, oh, there he goes. Like, what if, you know? And so, you know, that started, you know, at that young age, as I started to develop more and more, and I got a lot out of it. And then any little, as you know, as an entrepreneur, any little wins, you feel like, so, I mean, at 17, 18, I started a pressure washing business on the East Coast. Wow. As you probably know, well, certainly in my area, it's a lot of vinyl sided houses. Now I live in California, not so much in Southern California, but there's tons of vinyl sided houses, and they would get like green algae kind of all over them. And it became like a thing right around my 17 year. It's like pressure washing them, and they'd look like new, you know. It's like spraying the houses, and now you washed your house, you know. And so I worked with a friend of my dad's, and I'm kind of, you know, I learned from him, and within a month I'm like, Dad, lend me the money to buy my own, you know. And then they started flyering neighborhoods, and so I'm making $200-$300 by noon some days, you know, and all my friends are working for, you know, at that time $5 an hour or something. So I was like, I enjoyed the financial aspect of it as well, you know. So
so as that evolved, right, did you find yourself starting to surround yourself with other entrepreneurs and creators? Like, being on the West Coast doing pressure washing, that sounds like a pretty typical sort of entrepreneurial service business that you can do. It's available, right? So tell me what your circles were like back then. Like, how did you start to evolve into, you know, who you are now, with a total conscious community you're a part of? Yeah.
Well, okay. So that was, you know, now we've gotten up to like 17, 18 years old.
Yeah.
I went to college in Tennessee, in a very small town in Tennessee, a school called Freed Hardeman University, very conservative Christian. You know, at the time, being sort of an adventurous spirit too, I'm like, I'm in, you know, I'm going to get them to live 15 hours away from home. And my sister had went there. She's a few years older than me. So I'm like, I go to this college, and I ended up getting kicked out. I went for a few years, but I was one of the bad kids, AKA normal. And so I got kicked out, and then moved to Nashville, which was a bigger city, you know, not too far away, a couple hours away. And that's really when I started having my own like spiritual awakening, I guess you would say. And that was huge for me. I started reading like books like you'll appreciate this as a podcaster. You know, I've been doing the Positive Head podcast since 2015, almost coming up on 2000 episodes. So we've done a lot of shows, and we do 5 episodes a week. A couple years ago, my friend Dr. Erica Middlemiss started doing 2 of those. So I moved down to 3 a week, and Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And Wednesday is like interview style. I just booked one of the people who was most influential in my own spiritual growth, I guess you would say, Neil Donald Walsh, who wrote Conversations with God.
Oh, yeah.
So those
amazing
books.
Book.
Amazing. And he went on to write it went from 1 to a trilogy, and then I think he kept going. There's quite a few of them. But those books had a huge, huge impact. Now we're, you know, I'm 20, probably 22, 23, you know, and I started reading stuff like that. And it was like, I met someone who claimed to have psychic ability, and it really kind of threw me outside of what I'd been exposed to and kind of conservative Christian upbringing. And then I started reading a lot of other things. And so things like Conversations with God. So super excited to have him on Positive Head. Actually, next month, I'm going to be recording with him. So yeah. And then for me, I can only assume because, you know, it's a part of my dharmic path to do what I do, that as I started studying a lot of these ideas about consciousness and the ultimate nature of reality and spirituality and so forth, it was just like, oh my gosh, of course this is how it's structured. Of course I'm one with the source consciousness that creates and animates all things. And it's all reflecting me back to me everywhere I go. Like everywhere I go, I'm there waiting for myself. Wow, of course, how is everyone not seeing this? You know? So that really led me into a creative state of like, you know, so much so that like, hold on, I am the creator. I am the creator and created rolled into one, right? This kind of divine dichotomy as Conversations with God talks about. You and I are separate. Mm-hmm. That's true. Mm-hmm. You and I are one. That's true. They're relative truths based off the vantage point from which we're speaking. So as I started really remembering that truth about the nature of the situation in which I find myself as a being, that really just led to my creativity sort of overload. You know, I was like, well, if I can do anything and it's all an extension of self, what would I do if this is just all a game that I'm playing, this game of cat and mouse that my soul plays with itself throughout eternity? I know I'd make music. I've always been this huge music fan, but I've never really done it. So senior year of college, I started a band called Kundalini, and we then packed up after graduation, and you know, my kid's mother and my 4 bandmates, we all moved to California and came out to, we were in Nashville at the time, and we met someone from Southern California who knew a bunch of musicians, some big artists at the time. And then we ended up with like, you know, doing that whole thing. Our bass player brother was in No Doubt, who at the time was like, had the biggest song in the world, you know, a few years before he joined our band. And so we were around a lot of that sort of energy. This is, you know, late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah.
And that all went down. Yeah. Then usher in Burning Man 2005, you know, my first burn. And it's like, you know what that did. Like, it's just so yeah, I don't, I might've got off on a tangent there from your original question.
No, I love it. Well, no. So here's what I heard. First of all, what I sense is that you were inclined to this work. So there wasn't any sort of catastrophic event or any psychedelic ceremony or anything like that, like one significant moment that sort of turned it on. It was possibly living inside you as it lives inside us all.
Yeah.
And you were inclined to it, you know, early on. And it's fascinating that music eventually brought you to the West Coast, which sort of opened up where you are now. Are you still involved at all in the music scene? Are you still a musician?
It's funny that you say that. So you can see a painting behind me. And if I showed you the whole thing, let's see if I can do that without causing too much of a... So you can see that my friend Kai made this, and it's like a tree with like, if you zoom in, it's like evolution and ascension sort of happening through it. And so that is representative to me of a project. In 2009, I had 2006, I'm listening to a radio show that I actually got to be on recently that was also like a big, like, full circle moment for me. Coast to Coast AM. Are you familiar with Coast to Coast? It's like the original like spiritual podcast before podcasting. You know, it's the biggest show on the AM dial. They talk late night. It talks, for those who don't know, it talks about like UFOs and conspiracies and this kind of, you know, consciousness. And so listening to that in 2006, I had a really trippy, like, it's a bit of a story. So I don't know if you want me to go into the whole story, but it basically, someone who came on the show and claimed to be a time traveler and recounted my whole master entrepreneurial plan to start a music platform, what I ended up calling like social music sharing. Like it was like MySpace meets Spotify before Spotify. I had my everything. It's called Industry, like this big tree with T-R-E-E. You're reinventing the industry.
Industry.
Yeah. And I ended up launching it in 2009, and it had its own token called Blooms before cryptocurrency, you know, and it was just way ahead of itself. And so it's a really trippy, fun story, but it takes, you know, 10 minutes or so to share. And like I said, involves a supposed time traveler, some crazy spiritual breadcrumbs. I ended up launching in 2009, put it on hold because money was challenging, some personal tragedy with my brother's girlfriend committed suicide, and he was my partner. And so it just led me to putting it on the back burner and, okay, I need to manifest the money to do this right. And so I put it on hold, launched a travel company that became an Inc. fastest growing private company in the US, you know, kind of tiger by the tail. And let's see. From there, I never went back to it. And I was like, oh, I guess, you know, that's just another timeline. I never went back to it. And then recently I've received some very intense spiritual breadcrumbs again to go back to industry. And it's like, oh, it's actually a part of your hero's journey tale. You're supposed to go back and relaunch this thing. And so that is in when you asked about music, I am planning to relaunch it with fractionalized NFT ownership, where musicians can own with fans. And then in other forms of art as well, ultimately authors and visionary artists like this. And then us using the proceeds to create permanent village infrastructure, a la how do we create Burning Man permanently? Let's fund it with the art that makes it what it is, right? And so that's sort of in 2023, I really see myself starting to bring that back for round two. Because the first version of industry was like 2009, 2010. And, you know, so looking at
some people listening to this, me included. Well, I understand it because I have quite a few different irons in the fire, right?
I imagine
but
you do.
Some people listening to this, after hearing my introduction, there was a laundry list of different, you know, shows you have, companies you have, things, you know, so question is, you know, first of all, how do you regenerate your energy? Right. Do you have a practice around regeneration so that you can continue to have this sort of output?
You know, methamphetamine. No. In my other life, I'm a wannabe comedian.
I got a drum roll here. I got a little, we can start using that.
One of my many wish lists. Great question. If you know human design, I'm a generator in human design. So I definitely generate a lot of energy. I'm Leo astrology, King of Hearts and, you know, destiny cards. And, you know, so it's all like lots of fire and energy. And so, I'd be lying if I said I've been really disciplined with practices. Like it's something real. It's funny that you bring that up because it's something that I've really even this last year probably gotten more disciplined with, working out more consistently, meditating more consistently. You know, this morning I did like a cold plunge in my pool and then in the sauna. And, you know, some of these things, whereas in the past, a lot of times I just get up and go to work, you know, because it's like go, a lot of that energy. And it's been I've been a slow learner, I think, to some degree, how to work smarter, not harder. And to like sometimes slowing down is actually the quickest way to get to your end goal, you know? And so, I haven't been the biggest practice. You know, I've got this discipline practice and that is my secret sauce. It's like my secret sauce has been my fire and energy. And I think as I'm slowly maturing, learning how to tame that and use it. It's like that double-edged sword. It's burned me a lot of times too, or, you know, not being too fiery and burning people with words. And so actually, I don't know if you've ever looked at Gene Keys. I had Richard Rudd on the show a while back who wrote Gene Keys. And I just started looking at mine again and happened to read my life's work the other night. And it's like, It's Gene Key 31, if I recall, and it's the World Wide Web of Words. It's the person that's using words to, you know, the shadow of it is manipulation, the gift of it is leadership, and then the city is, you know, humility. So I think I'm somewhere in between the gift and the city, reaching for more humility and sort of, which really points to like this, the person that weaves words to control everything. And then at first it's like manipulating, then it's doing it for everyone's benefit. Then it's like realizing, hold on, you're a part of something bigger. And it's like, you just kind of surrender to it. So,
yeah. Well, I'm hearing that. And I can tell that you generate energy, and clearly astrologically you're an energy producer, you're a generator. And I've heard that before, being an executive coach, people that are in these leadership roles, a lot of the times more entrepreneurs, successful entrepreneurs are that, right? They're almost like almost have an abundance of energy ready to be spent at all times. Yep. But what I see a lot, and not just in my clients, but just in, you know, people in the entrepreneur leadership communities, is they struggle to find balance. And so anything around balance, like do you have any rituals that create balance for you in life?
That's a great question. And really, that's what I think I was speaking to some degree, is I've focused more on being balanced. Mm-hmm. I also think one of my highest needs is variety. So I sort of have this part of myself that rebels against too much of I'm supposed to do, you know, like even with my podcast, it's like, you're supposed to put clips out and market it this way. And it's like, it's done phenomenally well. And then it could do so much better if I played the game maybe more like I'm supposed to. You know, how many leading questions can I ask on Instagram to engage and get people to, I'm just like, if everyone's doing it, I want to run the other direction a little bit, that like rebellious side of myself. And so like I said, I've been a little more slow, I think, to bring in some discipline. You know, what variety is important. Like today I did a cold plunge. I haven't done that in a long, I've done it before, not in a long time. Like, I could go to the gym tomorrow. I could cold plunge today. Oh, I'll do the sauna maybe. Oh, hold on, I'm going to do a little yoga from home. Oh, maybe I'll go to the yoga studio the next, you know. So just introducing like variety, but consistently with things that are actually, you know, breath work. So that's kind of where I'm at in my journey, is like playing around with all the disciplines and seeing what I, you know, what do I feel inspired in this moment? And I think that's important for like a generator type. What is inspiring me now? Because if I'm acting from a place of inspiration, it has like incredible impact on me and those around me. If I'm doing it because it feels like I'm supposed to, or it's a job, then it's coming from a place energetically that where it's like my energy starts like depleting, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely a creator. I mean, that's for sure. And speaking of inspiration and speaking of creating, you told me the story behind Positive Head, which is like brilliant, right? Tell that story to my audience. Like, what led to Positive Head? Specifically the name, because I thought that was very, very cool.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I shared that with you. Yeah. So one thing that I get a lot of that's really fun is like synchronicity, like on
– yeah.
You know, there's, you know, I'll have people on my show. My show, I'll have a lot of times people are sometimes pretty out there, and they're, you know, like, I'm talking to extraterrestrials on the daily basis, you know, or channeling, or, you know, astral traveling, you know, stuff like that. Yeah. I haven't had a lot of that stuff happen, although I'm very open to the possibility of it, obviously. And so what I've had a ton of is like synchronicity, serendipity, spiritual breadcrumbs. It's like that, the whole industry story, if I told you, it's kind of like, what? Like, you made that up, you know? Or my birthday is a crazy synchronicity. It's my dad's birthday and grandmother and great-great-grandmother died on that day. And my ex-business partner and villain in my story, his baby mama and grandmother that day. And I met a soulmate on that day, and her boyfriend committed suicide on that day. And he's named Anson, and all my relatives are from Anson, North Carolina with that birthday. And there's like 10 more minutes to it. So that kind of thing is like,
breadcrumbs.
Like, it's crazy. Yeah. It's really wild.
Yeah, totally.
So, you know, with Positive Head, it was like, as I had my own spiritual awakening and remembering and even, you know, beginning to really understand how to navigate reality in a way that's going to yield the best results. And it's like one thing to understand a lot of these perspectives that I share on Positive Head and ideas about the ultimate nature of reality, theoretically, right? And it's another thing to apply them. It's like Mike Tyson said, it's perfectly. He's like, yeah, everyone's got a plan until you get punched in the face.
That's right.
And yeah. And so I've been someone who it's like, yes, here's how it works. Here's how you behave. Here's how you, and then someone would throw, you know, a punch at me and I'm like a raging madman, like reacting and like, you know, burning it to the ground, you know, burning everything with words. And so it's taken me a long time to rein in that fire and like really, as I say, teach best. I teach best what I most need to learn. And so, I mean, I can even think of a conversation earlier this morning that kind of started to go off the rails in a business meeting where in the past I'd have probably gotten much more aggressive. And I then conceded like, okay, well, you know what? You say that. Based off of that, I would say that we should go with what you're saying. You're right. Let's not forget about what I said. You know, in the past, I wouldn't have been able to do it, you know? And I've really found power in that. But doing that, it feels really, really good to have those types of wins. But yeah. Anyway, I'm digressing a little bit. So with Positive Head, I was so excited about remembering, you know, the truth of who and what I am. And if you listen to episode one from 2015, it's like, you know, I launched this podcast because my poor friends and family's ears are bleeding hearing me talk about this stuff. You know, I need someone else to tune in.
It's a generator.
Yeah. So that's really, and how I originally launched it is me and my ex-partner, we were talking about creating a sort of an online marketplace for festival wear. Kind of like, you know, we went to a lot of like Burning Man-esque events, you know, Lightning in a Bottle and Lucidity Festival. And, you know, there's so many in California, especially, and we were going to tons of them. And it was like our community and life. And it's like, man, all, like even now, it's like I have a friend coming over a few hours from now and he makes the most incredible clothes and balance bags, these holsters, and just like all half of the clothes I wear, my friends have made, you know, and it's like, I wanted to create a marketplace for this. And so, and it was one of those adventures that like, it's ideas are cheap. Execution is a whole nother thing. And it was a big undertaking. So we started down the path. I realized I have other projects with her helping me. She's not really, you know, the right person. Like, oh, I need to scale, you know, scale this back. But I'd already thought of a product that I would launch within this marketplace. And the idea of the product had come, I was given a talk to some employees, probably 30 people that were working for me at the time. And I said, you know, if we could just watch our thoughts, we could, you know, I often fantasize about like something that would literally zap me if I'm having a negative thought. Because if you could take all your thoughts in a given day and you put them in a positive bucket and a negative bucket, I can tell you, if you could show me that, I can tell you what someone's life is going to look like ultimately. Like the more going in the positive bucket, you're going to have manifest more things that you want in your life. So, man, wouldn't it be great if we had something that would zap us every time we think, you know, and who knows, Elon Musk might come out with this Neuralink anytime now. But so after the talk, I said this in the talk, one of my employees came up to me and said, you know, they have a manual version of that. My psychiatrist, he used to have me wear a rubber band and snap myself whenever I'd have a negative thought, just as a tool. And I'm like, oh, I never heard of that. That's interesting and simple. I like that simplicity. I'm going to try it.
Yeah.
So I went home and I was searching for a rubber band and I found an elastic thing for a racquetball racket. And from when I was playing racquetball, and it said it was a head racket. And so I put this on and I'm like, oh, this is really, you know, this is perfect. It's actually for a positive head, you know? And so I wore this for a few days and then I ended up creating these bracelets. Then, you know, it's like, oh, we're not going to do this marketplace. It's too robust of a project. I've already got this bracelet though. I already started making them. Like, what else could I put on the site with it? And then one night, there might have been some psychedelics involved. Talking with a friend, oh, why don't I make a podcast? Like, I've been wanting an outlet for so long. I'd never really listened to podcasts. Even now, I've listened minimally to them. But, you know, it's just like, that's the perfect outlet for me. Why haven't I thought of that before? So, you know, the bracelet lasted a year or so and whatever. But it all led to me. It's like this side roads to get to what I think was really most supposed to happen, which is the podcast. And that's its origin stories.
So interesting. So it really came from just noticing when there's a positive thought, just simply noticing.
Yeah.
And then taking an action around that and then building that sort of awareness.
Yeah. And right? or even to the opposite of that, noticing when I'm having a negative thought, you know, and snapping yourself, like, you know, just using that simple tool. And then, of course, like I said, and then it was like, oh, okay, now we're not going to have a marketplace. Am I just going to have this product on it? What else could I put? Maybe a blog, maybe, a, you know, and then it was like, duh, I'm talking to my friend who's an audio guy, my ex-bandmate, who's like, he's like, oh, it'd be super simple for me to edit it together for you and just like, you know, turn on a microphone. So I started off doing interviews at first. And that was the first few months was me once a week interviewing people. And then it was very clear, like, oh, gosh, my interview, the people I'm interviewing are going to hate me because I'm talking over them because I have so much I want to share. I need to be able to, okay, let's go from one day a week. And then that's when I said, let's do five. I'll just turn on the microphone and freestyle whatever comes out. And then I'll have, you know, maybe prep for a few minutes, get a topic or share this thing's happening in my life kind of in real time. And here's what the lesson is, I think, and here's what I can learn. And so I started doing that for many years. One interview, I call them soul shares, and then four, you know, solo episodes. Then I launched a late night style consciousness-centric talk show, which as opposed to audio only, you know, a whole live audience and musical performance and visionary art and retreat guest sharing and interview. And that, of course, is a whole nother level of production. So that's when I got my friend, Dr. Erica Middlemiss, to take over two days a week. So now I do three and she does two and the show's out, comes out live.
Fascinating. So it starts, that is such an interesting story, Brandon. So from a product, right? Which is probably one of the simplest products you could imagine. I mean, you can't get much simpler snapping a rubber band against your head.
I
mean,
basically, I took recycled tires and then I put the Positive Head logo. If you look at on positivehead.com or, you know, at the podcast art, it's like it's a head with the flower of life with like kind of outlined and then a plus sign in the middle. And so I made that into a little metal emblem and then tied together, you know, with tied onto recycled tires that was like a recycled tire band, if you will. And that's what it was.
Wow. Very interesting. And so that didn't last very long. The product side of it didn't last very long. Obviously, the podcast side of it got lots of traction, led to Optimistic, right?
Yep.
Which is the late night show. And I watched an episode. It's kind of like Jimmy Fallon meets Ram Dass. It's like really interesting because it's funny, right? Yep. You put some humor into it.
Yep.
And I think it's shot live, right?
Yep.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So
yeah, go ahead.
No. I just really am curious about what, you know, like going from a podcast where you're literally turning on a mic and just spewing out and opining on whatever topics you feel like you want to opine on.
Yep.
And then moving over to a live, you know, video interview format. What was behind that shift and what are you getting now out of this new format that you have?
Yeah. So it was one of those things where maybe not so different than the Positive Head story. It's like I started off with, okay, I want to do something more creative, you know, than just audio. And I came up with the whole concept with a friend who's a videographer and, you know, video director and things like that. And so then it was like, okay, how am I going to pull this off? Well, one, at the time I was living in Orange County, California, which is about an hour south of LA. And I was like, okay, I should probably be in, LA for this. As close to LAX airport as possible. So my interviewees, as they fly in and out of, you know, a very big city, it's like a 10 minute drive to get to LAX from where I'm currently at as I'm recording this in Venice Beach, LA area. And so I was like, okay, I want to be in the Venice Beach area. That's ideal. A lot of like consciousness centric stuff here. And, you know, it's not in the downtown, yada, yada. And it's close to the airport. And then I need a place that's big enough to put the studio for the show. Like I want to have 25, 30 people, live audience. I want it to look super legit and professional. Well, I need a big house. Okay. How am I going to afford a big house in Venice Beach, which is really pricey? Something I've thought about doing for years and is having retreats for fans of Positive Head. So, and then I'll work them into the show and have a segment where, you know, I started having them. And when I put all the pieces together, they would fly out on Monday and stay until Sunday. Right. So it's like a 6-day retreat. And Saturday night would be the live taping of Optimistic. 25, 30 people would show up. They'd spent their full week on retreat. It's the last hurrah. We'd have a little after party. And then they would come out at some point. I'd start with an opening monologue. And then I'd have a visionary artist live painting behind me. And then I'd talk to them about the inspiration behind their piece. Then I would do my main interview. And then, okay, now retreat guests, come out. You can ask a question or share about your week. And then finish with a musical performance. So we filmed 17 of those episodes from July 2019 up until COVID hit March. And then, of course, it's like, oh, I can't do retreats anymore. And at that time, we thought the show was going to be released. We're going to be able to release it on Amazon Prime. Mm-hmm. So we started releasing the first few episodes right after COVID hit, just independently. You know, I was like, I'm not going to spend too much time trying to I'll distribute it myself. Same way I did the podcast, and it's done amazing. Like, fine, you know, if I find it, cool, and if I don't, that's okay too. And so I started down the path of releasing it myself. Although things were pretty wonky with COVID and a lot of stress with the house, and people that were here were all working, you know, helping with retreats or filming, or you know, so it was like, you know, it was definitely a pretty stressful time, and it was. I've never juggled so hard as an entrepreneur getting up to that point too, to put it all together and make it all happen financially and, you know, with the resources that I had at the time. And yeah, so I started releasing the first few episodes independently, and then we thought we were going to be on Amazon. I halted releasing the rest of them because of that. That got drug along for 6 months or so until we found out, nope, not going to be on Amazon. Now everything's changed in the world. The help that I had releasing stuff and editing and all that, all had gone. And so as we talk now, I have a bunch of episodes I still haven't released because me being me, in the meantime, I got squirreled on, I'm going to write a book and I'm going to, you know, I have a travel company that's doing a big launch, about to do a big launch actually in the coming weeks. And I, you know, just got so sidetracked on other things. So I really want to intend to release, at the very least, release the there's four episodes released. There's 13 more that haven't been released, all filmed.
Yeah.
And then I'd love to get back to filming again because I'm still here in the space. We call it the Mystic Manor. And now we turned it into like co-living space and we do our own events, kind of like festivals for a day, Burning Man for a day, you know, with vendors. And well, Burning Man doesn't have vendors, but, you know, like a normal transformational festival kind of vibe and music, you know, DJs and pool and hangout and workshops. And so we do that. And it's kind of like a conscious hub for conscious community in the LA area. And our events are pretty awesome. And so that's where
unbelievable alchemy behind what how Positive Head suddenly manifests itself into a community that then turns into a potential platform, right? Is able to springboard and launch so many other conscious related products, services. It's fascinating. You have your own like little ecosystem of consciousness related businesses and products and media coming out, and you're doing it with what feels like it's a sense of ease. And we all know as entrepreneurs and in the world, things aren't always easy. But, and I there was something you wrote here about being within. I don't know if I wrote it down. It was a really interesting quote that I'd read. I don't know if I have it here, but it feels like you're aware of what's going on inside you and you have a connectedness to that. And so that's allowing you to see the breadcrumbs, to see the talisman, right? That's showing up in your life. And how enjoyable is life when it starts becoming so magical, right? Like that. I mean, true magic shows up in life. And it's like, wow, it's not this limited, you know, scope that I thought it was.
Yeah.
Suddenly anything's possible.
Yeah.
And I clearly see you're working in that space.
Yeah.
So that's inspiring.
Yeah.
That is super, super inspiring. Let me tell you, you mentioned the book. So I want to get, because we only got about 10 minutes left, but I want to understand a little bit about the book here.
Sure.
So who's the book written for and who benefits from reading? Like, how do they benefit from it? Right. So who's it written for and how would they benefit?
Great question. So what I, and spiritual breadcrumbs led me to this as well. It was a dream.
Of course.
That then led to synchronicity with, oh, hold on, here's the name. The name idea is Golden Key. Oh, hold on. Has anyone written The Golden Key? Oh, here's a guy who wrote a book called The Golden Key 100 years ago, and it was released on my birthday. Oh, okay. You're like, you know, cool.
And dude.
Yeah, it's a trip. And so So I followed some breadcrumbs again. And the idea with the book was to really distill 25 years of exploring the ultimate nature of reality and consciousness and perspective shifting to create, you know, it's the golden key, modern alchemy to unlock infinite abundance is the subtitle. And, you know, this idea that, and not just speaking about financial abundance, that's, you know, that's like a byproduct of your abundant nature, right? You know, when you start thinking and playing with the idea that you're one with the source consciousness that creates and animates all things, you're so abundant, you built this place. Like, you know, you and have amnesia to the fact that you're the creator and created rolled into one. This is how God experiences herself, I believe. And so I really wanted to take my 25 years of exploration. Okay, if that's the ultimate nature of reality and the nature of the situation in which we find ourselves, how do I then apply that information to create magic in my life? And so it's really distilling my 25 years of exploring that topic into 100 pages to read, just over 3 hours to listen to. And I thought, well, me having to be me, I can't do things the way everyone else is. So I want to find a way to gift it to people and create the inspiration for people to gift it. And so then you can pay for it after reading it if you want and sort of play this game with the universe, as I call it, the YOU, the universe. And, you know, as a way to create more abundance in your life. And so, so that's kind of what I ended up doing and releasing that. Yeah. What is it? In March, it'll be 2 years. Yeah. So yeah, a little over a year now. So year and a half.
Yeah. There was at the end of the book, I saw you introduce the Rich You All Action Plan. I think there's an exercise in there about reciting your mantra. And I've been practicing TM since 2009. So I'm familiar with the mantra, but tell me what's the purpose of a mantra and how does it enable you to take action in your world?
Yeah. The mantra that we talk about is, I am infinite abundance. I am that which I seek. And this, you know, just, I think it's so everything like that gene key I was talking about earlier, number 31 talks about, is like words are so powerful. It talked about the person who has number 31 as their gene key or it's part of their chart is like using words because in a way to adjust frequency, words are vibration and frequency, right? It's and so you can have someone who's really powerful physically as a presence. That's another way to like become a leader or influence people. It's like the guy who's 6'5" and well-spoken and, you know, really powerful that can like, you know, adjust the vibration and frequency and kind of train people to their level in a sense. However, when they're gone, that influence is gone as opposed to, you know, they use the example, you can take words recorded and supposedly said by someone thousands of years ago. And even if they're misrecorded and misinterpreted, then they can be responsible for millions of people's deaths, you know? And it's like, whoa, that's the power of words. And, you know, you can use it in the shadow side of it is something like Hitler to lock people into a frequency bubble, you know, with words. And so when you ask, you know, what is the power of that and the reason for mantra, it's like everything is vibrational in nature. And if I say I am infinite abundance, I am that which I seek, and I'm reciting that and feeling, more importantly, feeling the implications of the statement, I'm literally swimming in the vibrational pool of that truth. And now I'm becoming it. I am literally merging with the energy of what that represents. So I think it's extremely powerful. Yes, speaking, uttering it is one thing. Feeling what it represents is the whole next level. So it's a very powerful, simple tool to use words to, our words are our wands, right? We're spelling, we're casting a spell. Abracadabra translates to I create as I speak, right? So very, very important tools for us to use to create the reality.
Yeah, that was actually one of my breakthroughs when, so my transformational journey started through a program called Landmark that I got very involved with for a while. Yeah. And one of the most impactful things I learned there is that your life is authored through language and you can create your life through language. You author it, right?
Yep.
And that's and that's both language being communicated to others. It's both internal language, right? It's all of that. And it is extremely powerful. And for those of you that might be going through, you know, some struggles or, you know, sort of wondering on decisions to make, using mantras, using language really resets and can create a seriously powerful mind shift by just repeating a phrase. You'll find it actually manifests itself in life. And I experienced that firsthand. And again, that's one of the biggest pieces of transformational advice that I've gotten in my life. So, you know, I want to get back to something really interesting you said earlier. You kind of gleaned over it, right? Well, actually two things before we end up. The first is God is her. Now, I happen to know, well, not know, but in my ayahuasca ceremonies, when I've sat with grandmother and Pachamama, there's a femininity around source. There's a femininity, there's a caring, there's a maternal sort of feeling there. Tell me what your experience is. Like, where does the divine feminine show up? And why do you call God her?
Great question. I reference God as her mainly as a pattern interrupt, you know, because we've got this vision of, you know, the white male with a long beard on a throne, you know, we've even had that burned speaking of words, that vision burned into our psyche, right? And it's like, It could be that and beetle on the ground and the female, you know, archetype and anything you haven't even thought of, you know, it is it all, you know, it's like the famous Bible verse, I am that I am. It's like, I am that, I am that, I am that. Never mind. I just am. you know, and that's what the mantra from the book is kind of like even inspired by. So yeah, as far as the female piece of it, the feminine energy, I think we're moving into a phase. I've heard it put that we talked early on about this, the dance that source plays with itself, separate, you know, it's like it's separation, unification. It's even mirrored, you know, as above, so below. You can look at the physical universe. It supposedly started as this infinitesimal speck of matter, dense matter that is currently exploding outwards and expanding outwards as we speak for billions of years. Expansion, separation, the one theory on how it could end one day is completely collapsing back upon itself, right? Separation, unification, separation, unification, right? And so this is the dance that source plays with herself throughout eternity, I like to say. And it's like, so when we're in a separation cycle, you know, like the last 13,000 years, like the Mayans would reference kind of, you know, this new era, 2012, it's like moving back to the feminine. When we're in the separation, it's like man takes charge. It's masculine. It's like we've forgotten who we are and it's me against the other as if there is such a thing. And we're experiencing this, you know, survival and, you know, and so that energy needs to be predominant during those cycles. And then you move into a cycle like now where people are remembering. And, you know, 20 some years ago, when I was first reading Conversation with God, I'd talk to people about this stuff and they'd be like, what are you smoking? Or so that's really interesting, so and go about their normal, you know, matrixy life. Right. And whatever, dude, sure thing. I'm going to go to work now. And, and so now all of a sudden you go to a, you know, I mean, especially being in conscious community, the way I'm immersed in it, it's like every 21-year-old I know, yeah, dude, of course I know I'm one with God. Like, that's old news. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, it's totally. Kind of, it's like so trendy, and it's even media and TV and movies. It's like, it's everywhere. You know, the Nobel Prize winner of 2022 basically proves that, you know, spooky action at a distance and its inner quantum entanglement is like, explains so much psychic phenomenon, et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, I think we're moving into a cycle where the feminine is meant to lead. And that doesn't necessarily mean female all the time either. You know, it's like we have, that's the other thing you can look at. If you go back to my great my grandfather, have you ever seen City Slickers? That movie, Jack Palance, the older guy in it, the tough guy. That's my grandfather.
Ripley's.
That's my grandfather, like the old leather. He looks like a piece of leather and he's a badass tough guy. He's never cried. You know, that was like that was the thing, you know, like yeah. even going back one or two generations. Now, all of a sudden, it's like, I don't know, even know what sex the kids are anymore. You know what I mean? It's gone so far the other way. It's like everyone is so got so much of both energy. It's yeah, like you can even see it happening in humanity. You go from my son's great grandfather to him. It's like it couldn't be more like night and day energies. And so I think it's really important to realize, like, you know, it's about that finding that balance is, you know, I had a woman on my show once a while back who said, look, Brendan, a lot of your success comes from your healthy balance of masculine and feminine. Mm. I'm very sensitive. I'm very in touch with creative energy and not scared to cry and, you know, all that. So I think that's really important. So when you ask me about the feminine, I think feminine energy is like coming into its leadership mm-hmm. in this era, this cycle that mm-hmm. we're in on planet Earth at this time. And mm-hmm. in regards to God being male, yes. God being female, yes. God being neither, yes. God being a turtle, yes. God being, you know, God being bacteria, yes. yes. God being yes. No love, thing, yes. yes. God being everything, yes. Yeah. So...
Oh my God. You know, I could talk to you for a long, long time. You have so much to say. Just to get back to the last question I have, and it has to do with your time traveler guest or the time traveler that you mentioned. Yeah. Uh-huh, if you were able to time travel and have a conversation with the candy selling Brandon Beacham from the early, I'd say 80s, right? What would you tell him? What's the one piece of advice you'd give him moving into the future?
What a great question. Well, first, I would like to tell, if I can, to tell people, I share that whole story on a podcast episode. So if people would like to go hear it, if you go to industry, it's industr.ee. Industry that has like information about the forthcoming platform I mentioned and a link to the it's episode 1532 of the Positive Head podcast, Inspired Industry Synchronicity Story. So if anyone wants to go hear that, it's a fun one. And as far as what I would time travel back, now here's what's really cool. Synchronicity. Speaking of synchronicity, my interview on this week's episode of Positive Head is a woman who claims to be the world's expert in precognition. She's incredible. She's a physicist. Actually, maybe you'd want her on your show. She's awesome. I've had a lot of people on my show. Like I even say, this is one of my faves. Like she was so good. Yeah. We go deep down the rabbit hole. Very smart lady. And she has I think it's timemachine.love is her website, where it's all about connecting with your future or past self and creating actual. Because when I asked her about her history, she goes, well, you know, if I'm 53, I think she said, and I'm going to live to 106, my future 53 years affects the now as much as my past 53 does. We now know, right? Because time is illusion. It's all happening now. So you can actually affect that little kid and she has a website that's geared around doing just that, right? So it's a great question and very timely because we just talked about
very
this.
Very timely.
So... what would I say to that kid? I think I would, what a great question. I love this question. So back to the gene key that I just read the other day, my life's work gene key. Mm-hmm. Richard Rudd, so poetic, channeled material supposedly, definitely feels like it to me. He said, you start to realize everything that you say, you need to check yourself to make sure it carries the perfume of love somewhere behind it. If that's not the case, you're in arrogance and out of alignment. You've missed the boat. You're not optimizing the path for yourself and everyone around you. And so does it carry the perfume of love? Because one of the things for me, that young boy had to learn. I mean, I think back to my brother and some of the like verbal, you know, he's 2 years younger than me and super sensitive and like, poor kid. Like I was so domineering and like strong and like brutal sometimes, you know, and just like, but not immature, too immature to understand how powerful my words were. You know what I mean? It's like I had this sword that I didn't quite know how to wield optimally. So I think I would, depending on how much time I had, I would try and explain the ultimate nature of reality sooner and really drive that home. Make sure when you speak, it carries the perfume of love behind it. Otherwise, you aren't winning like you think you're winning. Mm.
That is a perfect way to end this episode. There's not only a perfume of love emanating from your words here, Brandon, but there's also so many breadcrumbs, so much alchemy on almost a daily basis from what I'm hearing in your life. So you're generating that, you're creating that. And anyone and everyone who's inspired by Brandon, inspired by his story, please, please check out Positive Head. It is a fascinating podcast. He is obviously a fascinating person, up to so much in the world. Thank you so much for coming on the Alchemist Lounge. This is one of my favorite episodes. And I'm looking forward to more serendipity and synchronicity with you, Brandon.
Yeah. I would love to have you on.
So much there.
Love to have you on Positive Head as well. And if you wouldn't mind, if it's okay with you, I'd love to offer the book as a gift to the listeners.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if you guys would like to get the audio and or ebook, The Golden Key, Modern Alchemy to Unlock Infinite Abundance, you can go to goldenkey.gift.gift. Mm-hmm. And then at checkout, just use the code ALCHEMY. And you can get the audio and or both ebook with that code. Check it out.
Everyone, check it out. I read it and I love it. And there's so many good tidbits, so many breadcrumbs. Thanks again, Brandon. Next time I'm in LA, I'm going to come check out the Mystic Manor.
So looking forward to that.
and we'll definitely see each other very, very soon. Thanks for being on the show.
Till then, journey well, my friend, and everyone out there tuning in.
Yes, onward and upward.
Bye for now.
Thank you, brother.
Thanks for listening in to The Alchemist Lounge. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and review on Apple iTunes. To catch all the latest from Alex Atwood, you can check out his website at alexatwood.co. Thanks again, and we'll catch you next time at the Alchemist Lounge.